Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
John, I don't want to wake you up.
What?
John, I just want to... Can I tell you something?
What time is it?
John, listen. Oh. What do you think... What do you think I'm the most picky about in this world?
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm still waking up.
Just answer.
I don't know. How did you get in my house? Well, I mean, you can be very particular about some things.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe you're a big Oxford comma guy, you know? Always got to do the comma after the and.
Listen, I'm definitely pro-Oxford comma, but that's not it. Keep guessing.
I know. Okay. You don't allow different foods on your plate to touch.
John,
that's kind of
food
your thing.
Doesn't have hands. How would they touch? You're wrong again. The thing I'm the most picky about, guess it with me, is
candles.
Yes.
Candles.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I should have said that.
So many home candle scents smell unnatural and chemically.
Gross.
And after learning that the candle industry contributes to an insurmountable amount of non-recyclable waste, carbon emissions, and toxicity in our air, I am even more prickly. And picky, John.
And picky.
Yes, give me two words that start with P, and those are the two I'm choosing.
You can choose both of them. That's fine. Dave, I heard that almost 2 billion candles, that's with a B, are sold globally every year, and almost all of them are likely to end up in landfills for the next million years.
Oh, man.
So what? Here's my question.
Yeah.
What can we possibly do about this?
Notes Candle has the answers. Notes created a refillable candle system that allows you to use your candle vessel again and again. And guess what, John?
Again.
Oh, so you don't become part of the problem. It's so easy to use. The candles are made with fragranced wag beads. And they're wax, John. This is what I want to tell people. They're not whack wax.
They're not.
It's really great.
It's
wax,
legit.
Okay? They're awesome. All you do is place the wick in your reusable, John, notes jar.
Okay.
Fill it up with wax beads. Not whack
not
beads,
whack.
John. Enjoy your fragrance for up to 36 hours, and then just do it all over again when you're ready for a new one.
Okay, so if I'm following you, that means that I can switch out fragrances all the time.
Yeah.
Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, Dave. Tell me. Do they have a candle that smells like bougie and luxurious and calming and also warm?
John, that's the Santal and Atlas Cedar candle.
Okay.
Personally, I love the coziest scent imaginable. Sweet, but also a little spicy. Like you, John.
Uh-huh.
So I went with the vanilla and pepperwood.
Ooh.
It's perfect for movie night or just cuddling up on the couch.
I love it. All right, so be a responsible consumer while not giving up on high-quality home fragrance by making the switch to Notes. Make the switch and build a starter kit. Right now, Notes is giving listeners 15% off and free shipping when you buy a Notes starter kit using the code DADVILLE at notescandle.com/DADVILLE.
That's notescandle.com/DADVILLE for 15% off and free shipping. It's wax, not whack.
Chris and Lauren Tomlin.
Thank y'all for doing this.
Yes.
This is fun.
You guys. And you know what I didn't realize?
Well,
let me just first say we have the Tomlins with us. And I didn't realize that you got the new book.
Yeah. How Great Is Our God. Yep. Wrote this book and excited about it. Just came out.
How does it feel like holding this book and looking at it?
It feels interesting. You know, you write everything that you know. And then you get the book back and you're like, I could read this in 2 hours.
This is the sum of my life.
This is it. I could read this in 2 hours.
You think what an amazing thing to say.
That just means you're a quick reader, man.
That's what it feels like.
Look at it in a positive way.
Oh my gosh. Did you have to confer at all? Because if I wrote a book, I would have to go to Annie and be like, I feel like maybe either I can't remember anything about that or I'm changing some names here.
He did it all on his own.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
Yeah. Was that terrifying for you?
Not at all. Because so much of this is his life story, which was pre-me.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
You guys were married so young. So
yeah.
If we were married early 20s, for sure there would have been notes.
Oh. You
would have been reporting it.
Every now and then, like one person a year. Be like, you should write a book. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I would have to sit with everybody that were friends of mine because I don't remember things well at all. I would make up things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd just be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're glad y'all, and congrats on the book. It's called How Great Is Our God, which is, it's funny, at the top, J.D. Watt, which I was telling Lauren, I thought that said J.J. Watt, and I was like, that feels like an interesting person to have you co-write a book
J.J. Watt,
it
would be a really interesting book if you go a different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, J.D. is a good friend of mine. He was one of the very first people I met years ago, and he is like a theologian, okay? So he's got all of that in there. So he would just say, there's so many things like, people who've read the book so far, they'll comment to me. It's like, gosh, the comment is like, man, I had no idea that was in you. I had no idea you understood, you had this kind of
gosh
thought. And I'm like, yeah, I don't.
They're like, your view on the eschatological time. You're like, yeah,
it's so good. But the kind of subtitle of the book is Living a Worship-Led Life in a Me-Driven World. Mm. And the idea of the book is we're kind of, we live in a me monster world. Mm-hmm. Everything is so, you know, and I think obviously it's been talked about so much, but how social media just exaggerates that and just of like, it's just so much about us. Everything is about us. And so just trying to write a book from just a book that I need, that I need to be reminded of like, you know, this, either you're the center and you try to put God in your orbit where you realize that, well, God is the center of all things. And I'm in that orbit of I'm in his orbit. And so it was really an incredible experiment writing this book, because I learned a lot in writing it about how we love to blame, and I'm just going to dive in the deep end right off the start. We love to blame, like look at the next generation. Oh my gosh, you're so self-absorbed. Everything is like selfies. And look at them. You know, so you get all that. Look at the young people out there. And when you start looking at this, this is all of time. This issue of being self-absorbed and like trying to build your own thing and build your empire is all of time. Mm-hmm. There is a story in Genesis, and you guys will remember it, the Tower of Babel. They're building this tower, and they're like, and these people, the humans are getting together and say, you know what? We are going to build something to God. We're going to reach God. Mm. That was their understanding. They're like, we're going to build this tower. And in the verse, in the scripture, it says, so that we can make a name for ourselves.
That's just a sidebar. Sidebar. It's for God.
Say, so we can make a name for ourselves. And I was like, man, this is all of time. Yeah. And everything is about, it never works out well.
It was called Instagram Tower.
Yes, an Instagram Tower.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so... It never works out well. Mm-hmm. We know this ending of that story. Every time you finally get to the wow, this is empty. This is not.
Yeah.
I've done everything I can to build myself. Look at me. And wow, it just keeps getting more empty and empty. And the heart of it is like there's something greater. And it's this. The book is like just reminding us that there is a greater story that we're part of, a greater kingdom we're a part of. And so that's why obviously the title "How Great Is Our God" just kind of says all of that.
You should write that song.
Yeah, that
I've got a chorus.
Has a hook to
do
it.
You? Yeah. Actually, we'll get to
do
that.
You want percentages?
I would love most of them, if that's okay. Whatever
what,
the most
what was
is.
Your process, the actual process of writing it like? Because obviously you're a writer, mm-hmm. but this is a much different form of writing.
Yes.
Did you try to kind of like just put it into your normal kind of like way of writing songs? Or did you approach it totally differently?
No, I'd usually do it at night. I'd sit... So with my buddy JD who helped me do this, he just said, man, just don't self edit, just write, mm-hmm. just put down everything, just all your thoughts, and just let it flow. And I'll make it sound like you know what you're doing. And,
gosh, can I have that person?
Yeah.
Babe, you ask a good question before I answer that. I'm going to have my buddy JD come in. And he's just going to tell you sort of what I'm trying to say.
What he's trying to say. Exactly right. And so these thoughts in there are mostly my thoughts, all my thoughts. But then he just makes it like sound like I'm you know, Hemingway.
Yeah. Right,
you're like I want the Hemingway guy. Who's that guy? And JD raised his hand.
So it was really fun. I really enjoyed it because I didn't have to really think through. Yeah, okay, how is this structured?
That's what overwhelms me the most is like trying to figure out like you know getting your thoughts on me one thing, but then trying to make it like all make sense or flow would be a lot. So tell us this, two. Speaking of making sense and flowing. Watch, see what I do here.
Okay.
How did y'all meet?
Oh, gosh.
Can you tell the people how this whole thing started?
Mm.
What was that?
He's like, wait, can we go back to the book?
Yeah, the book.
Chris is out. He's like, hey, Lauren's going to take it from here, guys. I've done the promo, and I'm
okay.
Out.
So I moved to Atlanta. I've been in Texas my whole life. I've grew up in Texas, and I've all of my life, my music life, everything's been in Texas. I'm living in Austin, and then I moved to Atlanta to help plant a church there called Passion City Church. And 2 weeks in, I mean, I think I was there for maybe a week or two, and a friend of mine, I'm out there playing tennis one day with a buddy of mine, and he's like, you know what? And I only knew a couple people in Atlanta. He goes, you know what? He said, Chris, man, there's this girl, and she's single right now. Her name's Lauren, and she's single right now. I'll never forget this line. He goes, she's single right now. She doesn't stay single long.
So oh, my gosh. That's a country song from the 90s.
She
don't stay single long.
So he said, she's single, man. And he said, she's just, I mean, she's the catch. She is the catch of Atlanta, man.
Every guy.
Yeah, every guy. He goes, I'm telling you. And I was like, okay. And I said, well, why don't we do it? He said, I'll see if she's, why don't we do a double date? And I said, well, I'm traveling. And when I get back, yeah, why don't you reach out to her or something and see if that could work. So come back. He's like, yeah, I got it all set up. Got it all set up. We're going.
So he did it.
Yeah, double date. I have not seen this person. I don't know what Lauren looks like. I know nothing.
That's a lot of trust.
Right.
A lot
risky. Of trust.
And so I, you know, this was Facebook days. And so I was like, okay, what's her Facebook? I go look.
I'm yeah, do some recon.
See what she looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm going. So I go on her Facebook page. She has her profile picture. Dave, I wish this was on video. Maybe we could get this on video sometime. Her profile picture is she's looking back. She's looking at flowers. She's picking flowers, and you can't see her face. She's looking away.
That was intentional.
No, it was.
No, now, I'm joking.
I thought you were going to say it's a picture of you when you were like three. You're like, oh, great.
No, she can't see her face. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going into. In this,
like, granted, if she's picking flowers, I'm going to recognize her.
Yes.
Right. If she's bent over in the right way, or
yes.
I can't.
Oh, that's her.
See her hair. Oh no, that's her.
Yeah. So
you get there early and just scatter flowers.
Flowers, and you can't see her face. I'm like, oh my goodness. So yeah, we roll up to her apartment, and she comes out. I'm like, oh wow. Oh wow.
Well, boy.
Yeah. Things. Yeah. All right. This is looking
guys. Up. We need to reapproach. I got to get ready. Just drive around the parking lot one more time.
And I'll let Lauren take it from here because she loves this part. She loves to talk about this.
I'll take it.
Yes.
So we're at this great hip restaurant in Atlanta, and it's so much fun. But, you know, it's a four top.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the couple on the other side. And literally, he did not look my way or talk to me the whole time.
So Kristen, you guys are sitting same side.
We're catty corner.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But literally talk to them, ask questions. And so I went home and I talked to my mom. I was like, I just don't understand how someone can sing to like 5,000 people plus, but they can't even like engage or look my way in the conversation.
I respect that game though.
Mm-hmm.
You were
it
like,
was
this is
strong
a long
game.
Play.
Yeah.
Like,
I wish it was game.
Oh, was there a girl
it
there?
Was
the, I don't know. I'm just
I wish
living my
it was
life.
Game. It was such a lack of game. That is how lack of game.
Was intriguing though.
It was.
What was it? Was it nerves?
Oh yeah. It was. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh. You know, I was probably a bit intimidated, and I was just like, yeah, fumbling at every point. And
so then you hit
by the way,
road.
That's remarkable.
He hit the road.
That's a remarkable feat.
I know.
To have like kind of a whole dinner where it's like, I'm not sure he even looked at me.
Literally. I was like a non-human.
He orders from you. You're like, no, I'm your date. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I could use more water though. That's why I just.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was that's how we met.
He hit the road. And so then from that, we started talking on the phone. And I was like, oh, he's like really witty. It was very surprising because I just thought with him being a worship leader, he would be much more serious and. He was fun. There was a lot of fun to
very
him.
Very spiritual
so,
at all times.
So when your mutual friend had reached out before that and was like, hey, I want to do a double date. You knew who he was.
No.
Well, that's another part of the story.
I think she got me mixed up with somebody.
It was with another. I thought he was another worship leader at another church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I thought he was somebody entirely different. And truthfully, this is the really cool part of the story.
I love this so much.
I know. It's so good. The really cool part of the story was I used to sing all of his music or listen to all of his music. I just didn't know who he was.
Oh my gosh. God is so good that would be the case.
Yes.
She's like, I love that you do that. There's this guy that I love so much and you should hear his
music. It was, we had a lot of those. There was moments where like, there was an old song would come on to mine or they'd be singing at church and she goes, gosh, I love this song.
Oh
so
my I love this gosh.
And I was like, well, I wrote that song. She's like, you did?
Who sings it? No, that's me. I sing it. Well, God, looks like things are going well. That is amazing.
We have so much of that.
That is amazing.
So tell him about
which,
the,
by the way, you're
the
like,
songwriting
that humble
thing.
Pie.
Tell him about the songwriting story.
What's that?
Oh, it's such a good story.
What are you talking about? Which one?
When was it, Maddie or
oh,
Ashlyn?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
this
is my life, bro. This is like, you want to, you're like, people always ask me, how do you stay humble?
I was going to say, the humble pie you are eating is
this
substantial.
My humble is my daily life.
Yeah, yeah.
My daily life.
God has enfinched you.
At my house. So this was last year. I get a call, maybe last year. And I get a FaceTime call. I'm on the road, FaceTime call from Lauren, and it's Ashlyn, our oldest. And Lauren's in the picture, and Ashlyn's like, I just want to call you, Dad, and let you know that, you know, today they ask us, you know, I kind of figure out what I want to do. Man. I want to do. Our teacher's like, what would you like to do? And I said, one of the things I'd like to be, and she was talking, I want to be a dancer. And she goes, and one of the things I'm really excited about, but I really think this is what I want to be, is a songwriter. I want to be a songwriter. And I was like, really? And I thought, she's calling me to talk to me about this. And she's like, I'm calling, do you know anybody that can help me this?
No.
I'm not lying. Hold on. She's seriously, Dad, do you know anybody can help me do this? She goes, do you know anybody like teaches this or how they do this? Or like, do you know anyone? And I was like, well. And I'm just kind of like pausing. I'm like, well, I haven't got an answer out. And Lauren's back there going, she's listing all these. She goes, well, there's Roots Academy. There's Chefs Down the Road. She's listening all this. She goes, I think this person writes songs. I'm like, guys, I'm right here. I am right here.
Like, I'm going to hang up. It sounds like you guys have figured it out. I'm going to go play my show to thousands of people.
I have a concert tonight. And I said, well, Ashlyn, I write songs.
She's like,
I'm on a bus right now.
Dad.
She goes, I write songs. And she said, you write those songs? And I was like, yeah, I've actually written those songs. She goes, wow, I had no idea. That is really cool. And so, yes. So it's.
This is last.
And then she's
year,
like, so anyway, back to what I was saying. Yeah. Do you know anybody?
Dad, you
she's like,
know
so great.
People.
So you might know some songwriters.
You have connections.
Yeah, you play music. You might know people. It's just one of those great moments.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a good. It's good. It keeps you on there.
I can't.
I think
stop
it's because
thinking.
You put off the humble vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
So people are just assume like, oh well, someone else wrote.
But
this
I can't
song.
Imagine. You knowing and loving songs, you don't know it's.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I would listen to them all the time in college, and then I had a corporate job once I graduated, and it was all I listened to on the way to work.
Yeah.
The Passion albums.
Yeah, and she had one song that she liked of mine, and it was probably one of the it would be the least popular song of any song I've ever. And I was thinking, she goes, I really love the song Kindness. That was like my favorite. That was all the time. And I was thinking, there's so many more songs I've written since.
So here's a fun fact. I have a couple other ones I'd love to play for you just to see that one get knocked down the list a little bit.
God, that is crazy.
It's fun.
2,555. Wow.
Dave, man, that's amazing. It's amazing that you count each one out loud.
Yeah, well, the chips are expensive, so I really want to enjoy them.
Sure, yeah. Dave.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that I have said about you,
okay,
it's that you are a man of many excuses.
Nah.
Why don't you hit us with some of your go-to excuses right now?
Okay, look, if I'm in the corner and I've got to say, here's a couple that I use a lot.
Okay.
One, no one told me this was going to be on the test.
Classic.
Or it's my first day, which Annie's like, we've been married for 17 years.
You use that one too much.
Also, I didn't realize this was being recorded. That's been a lot, actually.
Okay. Now, what about excuses when it comes to selling your handmade products online?
That's easy.
What about that?
I don't know how to code. I don't know how to design. I don't know how to use a mouse or a keyboard.
Okay. Well, hang on just a second. You hear that sound?
What? Huh? Yeah.
Could it be Shopify?
Of course. I have a feeling Shopify is going to throw my excuses right out the window, John.
Well, that's right, Dave, because Shopify is your no-excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design, which, as you say, you don't know how to do.
No clue, John.
Just bring your best ideas, and Shopify will help you open up shop.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage?
Oh, the days.
Day three for me. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Whether you're touting tortoise tiaras or hawking homie hammocks.
Ah, oh, John.
Those are just off the top of my head.
Hey.
Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
And Dave, did you know this? Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify's the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175
countries. Plus, sorry to interrupt, John. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dadville, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Dadville now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/Dadville.
Oh, man, John.
Dave, you okay?
Yeah.
Why are you squinting so much?
It's so bright out here. I feel like I can barely see it. It's just,
Everybody knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby. You know, here, try these.
Okay.
Try these knockarounds.
Oh, these are amazing,
right?
John.
Right?
I feel like these lenses have UV 400, uh-huh. which, if true, is basically like sunscreen for my eyes,
exactly.
but without the pain.
Right. And
without
guess what, Dave?
Pain. Yes.
It is true. Because all of Knockaround's lenses have UV 400 protection.
What?
400. And now that the days are getting longer, you got to get yourself a pair, Dave.
Okay. I really want a pair, John, but these seem really nice. Are they going to break the bank? Be honest. Be honest.
I am.
Are they $1 million a pair?
They're not. I need those back, though. But not a chance, Dave. With polarized adult pairs, they start at $28.
No, nope.
Yeah. And you can get a few pairs for $28.
Yeah.
Leave them in your car, toss them in your beach bag, or like I just did, lend them
Give them to a friend.
Wait,
such
for a minute,
great
and then
selection.
I'm going to need that back.
So many greats. Over 20 different frame styles, tons of kids' pairs too, and I can rep my favorite MLB, that's Major League Baseball, NFL, that's
National Football League.
And NHL, which is not Hungry Lemurs. I don't know these for sure, John. Team with an officially licensed pair of knockarounds.
That's right. Dadville fans, don't squint through family beach days or trips to the park. Check out knockaround.com and use our code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
Okay, so first date doesn't go super great, but then you go out on the road and then you start talking. So that's when
We're talking. I'm on the road, just phone calls. Text.
And this is 2000 what?
Wow. Okay, we got married in 2010, and so this would be 2008.
I feel. 2009. Hold on, we need to pause. Didn't you kind of somewhat flirt with the story? And I feel like they're laying out the lair for us to walk into the trap of our story.
Shh. Just keep walking. Keep walking.
Yeah.
Did you share our story?
Did I share?
How we ended up together and you were like, I'm not gonna. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
I don't remember.
I think
just
they're saying the
yeah,
trap.
Just keep talking. Keep talking. Whatever. Remember, the Lord is
maybe
leading
off
you
talked. Maybe did you text them?
No, something? I did not.
Okay.
Nope.
But anyway,
hey, you're cueing me like you text. Cue Chris to tell the story, lay the trap.
So I was very much a dude, and which means non-committal, don't know what you're doing, and trying to figure it. And I'm brand new in Atlanta. I just moved there, so I'm thinking, I've only been there 2 weeks. I'm not going to get serious with somebody. I don't know who's here.
I got to find somebody who knows my music.
Exactly.
That's a good starting point.
I only been here a couple weeks, so I wasn't thinking this would be a serious thing, right off the bat. But So I didn't move in the direction she was wanting me to move. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't taking like more committed steps.
Were you kind of waiting for like,
oh, another date or two? Or he's
gonna... Oh, well, so we were 6 months in, basically.
Six months in and nothing was progressing. And so she gave me one of the Lauren sit downs, which now I've had several of them, so I understand. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this is my first one.
You know the posture. You know the face. You're like, uh-oh. Oh, it's the LSD. Lauren, sit down.
Oh, my gosh. Pretty much.
And so it was like, hey, you know, I'm not here just to hang out and just like kind
of like, I have a Rolodex of men just pounding on the
door.
Like,
do you know who I am? Kind of thing is one of those things of like, and
that is not what it was. No. Let's just pause that real quick. I basically said, hey, I'm not in this for the Grammys for a private flight. Like, I really want to get to know who you are. Mm. And if you're not in a position to invite me in, because there was this guard, which now looking back on some level, he didn't know what he wanted. So there was that guard. Does that make sense? Yeah. And he is a mysterious person for sure. But I still think he didn't know what he wanted. So he was keeping things super tight. Right.
Yeah.
And so I just said, hey, if things don't change in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to need to move on.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so in a week and a half.
Yeah.
Not, of course, what did that do? Me addressing this with him. Do you think he stepped in or stepped back?
Oh, he stepped back. Yeah. He turned around. Yeah. He was like, I may sprint.
And so, yeah. So a couple weeks later, she's like, you know, this is, I'm moving on. I'm out of here. And I was like, oh, wow.
And then there was the movie comment.
Okay.
The movie clip comment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just, you know, she
in a fit of rage, she said in the car.
Her parents have a ministry. They do all these things where her dad takes guys out to these things in Colorado, and her mom does these beautiful things with women. And part of their ministry, and part of what they do is they'll show movie clips, you know, and they'll be like, hey, this is kind of what I'm talking about. This clip kind of shows you like the God's love for you and those kind of things. And like, and they're always there. It's like Titanic, it's Notebook, it's all these things. And I said, life is not a movie clip. I was like, it's not the movie. I was like, this isn't, relationships aren't a movie clip. You just want this movie clip. I said, you want this movie clip kind of thing.
And you said, you'll never get what you want.
You'll never get that. And I was mad.
I was mad.
And so that was the end of that. And so I moved on and she moved on and, you know, just went about business but I'd always think about her and I was realizing, you know, man, it took that for me to go, okay, you just lost something amazing. It wasn't immediate. I was like, because I was mad. But months down the road, I'm like, that was the best thing. Mm. She was the best thing. Mm-hmm. She was the best thing I had, and I lost it. So I tried to get her back, and I did my best. And I would send texts, and she would not respond. It was cold. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I'd ask my friend who knew her, hey, what's going on with Lauren? Oh, she's good. And it's like, you know,
still picking flowers.
She ever mentioned me? No, she's never.
Did she ever mention me? No, actually.
No, she's never mentioned your name. Those kind of things. But, so one day I just sent out a text and I was like, I hope everything's going. I had called her and I said, I was ready to be fully on. I was ready to be fully in. And I'm like, will you just let me talk to you? And so I said, I'd love to
face to face.
I'd love to come by and see you. And I want to just share some things. You know, I'm ready. I'm going in and I'm going to win her back.
You got your guitar and everything.
Yeah, so at this point, you haven't seen each other for a couple months.
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, and he's dated several women.
Oh, it's classic, Chris. Mm-hmm. Just a man about a man about town.
Okay.
Take a beat. Calm it down. Don't
I
make a movie
I do wish
clip.
This were video just for the clip. Subtle little expression.
Oh, gosh. We've all been there, by the way. Yeah. You are not alone. If there is one thing we've learned about having couples on Dadville, the male plight is unbelievable.
This is how it goes.
You poor souls.
Just terrible, unbelievable women and stupid men is the name of the series.
So I don't know where we were, but I was...
So we were supposed to get together. Yeah, so can we get together?
I said, can we get together?
So you finally said, you were like, yes.
You're like, yes. And she goes, yeah, phone's fine.
Oh,
fine. And I was like, I wanted to come see you. She goes, the phone's fine.
Like phone booth?
Yeah. So I was like,
yeah, right.
And so I'm like, all right. Nice. It's my shot. I got one shot.
And he said it all.
So I said everything on the phone. I was like, I realize exactly, you know, that you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And I've been an idiot. I'm really, really sorry. And I just want, you know, I know that you're the one and all the things. I was just like pouring out my heart. And she was just cold as ice, bro. She's like, she goes, you know what? I thanks for sharing it, but I just want you to know I'm over you. I've gotten over you. And and I was like, what? And so I went in again. I went in with some more things. And she said, no.
Like, I prepared it in Spanish also. Let me start that. Hola. JD is right here, and he's got a version too. If this doesn't work,
he's going to share what I'm trying to say.
Now, was that actually true? What you were saying? Did you really feel I am over him?
So here was the interesting thing: I was progressing with somebody else, and it had gotten very serious. And so what he
was it
did
the other worship leader across town?
No, it was not. But that would have been interesting.
It was this guy Matt Redman, and I didn't know any of his songs either. It was crazy.
I just target these people.
Yeah, just something about it.
But it was interesting because he didn't know this, but I had had a dream the night before, and I knew that it was from God. Whoa. And it was that we had had a false marriage, like meaning the bridesmaid dresses were there, everyone was proceeding, and then there was like a false document. It was like a false marriage.
Whoa.
Right. That's really deep. So that what was weird was he hadn't reached out. And I even like was like, God, what are you trying to say? And I felt like I was just saying, like, you need to cut this, like, cut it, like in my own heart. Because on some level, obviously, like I was proceeding forward, but it was like, this is done. This is finito. Keep going where you're going. So when he reaches out, I just felt like I was relaying, hey, this is done. And then I think I made the comment. What did I say, babe?
You said I'm over you. And you said, several times, like three or four times. And I was like, the fourth or fifth time, I was like, you know, you don't need to say that again.
Yeah, I said that.
You don't need to say that
you
again.
You said that.
I said, you don't need to say it again.
He did.
I said, I hear you. I hear what you're trying to say. And then I just said, because I did not know that she was in a really strong relationship. Like, I heard she was dating somebody, but I didn't know that they're about to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. It was that committed. And I was like, and I just said, before I hung up the phone, I said, just want to let you know something. He ain't me. Whoever he is, he ain't me.
Shoot that shot, baby. Shoot that shot.
He ain't me.
And, as a Texan would
another
say.
Country, another country song we should write.
Give me one second. I'm grabbing guitar. Okay, I got it.
And so, and she didn't care. I mean, that didn't mean anything either. And
you just keep doing song titles. Neon Moon. Nope. Okay. Friends in Low Places. Nope. Doesn't feel right. Vienna Man. No, I'm getting away.
So, I hung up the phone and I thought, well, that was it. You know, I gave it my best. And
wow.
She is like, she's really done. And I messed up and screwed up. And okay, moving on.
Starting.
But I could not, I just didn't let it go. And so a few months after that, it was, I just sent a text and just throwing out another Hail Mary. And I was like, hope everything is going well with, and I put quotes, your Adventures of the Heart. And Adventures of the Heart is her dad's ministry. And I know she was working there, and I was just honestly saying, I hope things are going well with Adventures of the Heart, all the things, thinking about you, just wanted to let you know, just something simple like that, just throwing a line. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and
he still ain't me.
And
she
responds like pretty quickly, which she never has responded to my text. I got a text back and she says, how did you know?
And now you're in a dilemma.
How did you know? You must have quite an entourage. And I was like, maybe she probably sent it to somebody else. She's thinking, she's replied and it was to go to someone. I was like, hey, this is Chris. You sent this to me. I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, oh my gosh. She's like, well, her and her almost fiance just broke up, And
so I thought he was stabbing at me by saying,
"How is it? I hope everything's going well.
Your adventures of the heart.
With your adventures of the heart."
She thought, "What a she's thinking,
I was like,
what a
that jerk.
Jerk.
Right. So hey, that's jerk. Why I said the entourage thing.
I was like, "What a jerk." She's thinking, "What a jerk." I was like, "Oh my gosh."
He's
so
like, "When can I see you?"
And she's like, "You know, she's like, we just broke up, and I'm over there going, you know, like, oh my god,
tell me more."
And when can I see you? Basically, yes. And she's like, nope.
So here's what was interesting.
And still, she's like, you can't. And it's going to be maybe down the road, but not now.
In our elder years.
Yes.
So what was interesting was there was a really good friend of ours, Audrey Assad, who you
probably
know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she is Catholic, and she would always go to adoration, which is, I guess, a part of their whole practice. And so she would always hear from God, interestingly, on my behalf in this season. We had gotten to know each other from afar because she was in Nashville and I was in Atlanta. And so she, out of the blue, after this text, because I'm like, he wants to get together. Like, what do I had this dream. I mean, I have this dream that this is a false marriage. Like, to me, this is like, no. You know, it's off limits. And so it's so funny because I get this text from Audrey and it said, "I don't know if this means anything to you, but I was just in adoration and I heard God say, for you, dream big, Lauren, I am able." And so all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, maybe this is God saying this is a green light. Like the walls can come down, the guard can come down. Like maybe there is something more to this. So I said, just, hey, we can't really see each other for a minute because obviously I was just with this other guy. It really doesn't seem fair to anyone involved here. And then when we did finally get together, we ended up like closing down the restaurant.
Yeah, we finally got together in this restaurant in Atlanta. And
how long after that?
Probably 4 or 5 months.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. It was a couple weeks.
No, it was not a couple weeks. I promise you it was not a couple weeks. It was a while. It was a while.
Really?
It was a while. And
did you see the finger?
Yeah, exactly. Thinking,
it was a while.
Do not push back.
What's the whole time from like when
Is it like a couple of years?
No. So that's what happened was, right, we dated
year and a half, and probably our dating in that year and a half was maybe 6 months. But our dating was, you know, just dinners here and there. It wasn't much dating.
No eye contact.
No eye contact.
Sat on the same side.
So pretty much from there, it was when we finally closed down the restaurant, it was like a sprint to the altar.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it was like this quick, like.
What new? If we get back together, there's no like, on. Oh, let's date and see how this goes.
Yeah.
It's like, no. This is, you know, you stepped in, you're ready. So like, all right, let's go get married. And so.
So literally we didn't have, I'm laying the groundwork here. We did not have one argument leading up to getting married.
Chris is like, never have. And that's how I knew, is she never pushed back.
Yes.
And what a wonderful wife.
And we've never had an argument
ever since.
So I'm laying down the foundation for where the story is going. So we literally didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Truthfully. I mean, as married individuals, you could speak, like you could date for probably 2 years on some level. You really don't know the full person. Well,
yeah,
we
Amy and I were together for 2.5 years. Before we got married. And when I think about us at the altar, I'm like, we did not know each other.
No.
Yeah.
In all the best ways of what marriage does, right? And what it brings out in us. But so we sprint to the altar, have the most amazing aspirations and dreams and hopes. And we are so excited.
Yeah.
And literally a month in, I get pregnant. Sick as a dog. He's out on the road.
God, the way you said that, I was like, it was Chris though, right? I was like, where is this going? So long story.
The fiance came back.
Yeah, and it was, boy, whirlwind.
Story. Roller coaster.
I know.
He would talk to me at restaurants, and that was just really attractive to me.
One of my favorite things about him.
He looked at me.
So y'all are a month in.
So, and we get pregnant, and we don't really know each other, and you're throwing in a full, like, he is peaking in his career. I mean, it's all cylinders. He
on the road.
You're gone, like, every Thursday through Sunday or whatever.
Oh, no, yeah. No.
And then leading at the church.
Tuesday. I mean, we're going all the time.
Yeah.
This was beyond, this is before just weekend warriors. I mean, we're playing. We're going out for months, you know, on the road. And I might come home and try to get there, be on Sunday, and I'd be at church, leading at church all day Sunday, and then back out for Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it was a lot. But then, so I'm out, and that's just what I've always known. But now I've got a
sick wife at
who's
home.
Sick and, like, really, really dying. Sick. And so it's just crazy. You know, marriage grows you up. It instantly grows you up. Like, it's another level. Then a child is... So is a whole nother level. And so before our first anniversary, you know, we had a child. And it's like, this is, man, it's just on the deep end really, really quick. And both of us, I had been single a long time. And so I got married later in life. And so I had so much to undo. So much to undo of just being Mr. Independent and just running the show and doing whatever I wanted to do. And so the first couple of years were glorious.
It was like a holy war.
That is so intense.
Legitimately a holy war. I mean, it was.
It was.
And I mean that in all seriousness of God's great dismantling of both of us.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, it was obviously, I run hot, he runs cold. So obviously there was that war. But there was a larger, you know, there's a big, marriage is opposed more than anything. And so I think looking back, he was the greatest gift. And that was the thing that when we got married in Hawaii, and I distinctly heard God say, he's the greatest gift I will ever give you. And I hung my hat on that because we we had some hard days. We did not like each other. You know, we did not appreciate each other. Very different, very on opposing sides on everything in terms of just styles of relating. Family of origins, our family was very different. So literally, it was like the greatest gift that God brought him to me on so many levels for just the fun and how we enjoy life now. But we probably became more of our true selves through each other.
And I would say that again, say that back to Lauren. I mean, the best thing ever happened to me because God knew, you know, I would sit in the, Lauren laughs now, I would sit with the counselor, you know,
we're looking
at the counselor thinking, how's this going to work?
Just and, wait till you hear this line that he would say in counseling.
I would just say, look at him, it's like, but
I promise you I said this line because I feel like I know what you're about to say.
No, you did not. I'm a year in with a baby in the, you know, in the little bassinet in the bottom of the counseling area. The car seat.
You know, I just, my family and everything, we didn't talk about anything. You know, you just moved on.
Yeah.
Her family dealt with everything at every moment right then. And so I'm just like, what in the world? We don't need to talk about it. I'm good. No, I'm not good.
I just cry when I mow the yard sometimes. Why are you asking me this?
So I'm just like, and so he's like, the counselor's like, y'all come from two different ways of relating. And I just kept saying, but if I would have married someone who related like me,
listen to this line.
Wouldn't life be so much better?
So easy.
It'd be so easy.
I have a child in a car seat.
Even Ashlyn's
that's wrong.
Yeah, thank you. You're 3 months old.
I literally am sitting in the chair, just like
fingers bleeding from gripping the leather on the chair.
Yeah. Oh man.
So then I was like, it doesn't matter if it's funny and they laugh. You can't just tickle anybody.
Right. But they all spoke Spanish, so it's not going to land.
It didn't matter, yeah.
Right.
John, I do need a break.
Yeah.
Can we get some coffee if you don't mind?
Coffee?
Yeah.
Well, Dave, today's episode and my morning cup of joe is brought to you by, you know what, let's say it together.
Okay.
Let's sing it together.
Methodical coffee. Methodical Coffee has craft coffee and tea for people of all kinds, John. Roasted, blended, brewed, served, and perfected. They wouldn't settle for anything less by verified coffee and tea nerds. Like who, John?
Like
Johnny Mac.
Like me, Dave. You know it. And now Methodical has resolved the headache of having too little or too much coffee. You can never have too much coffee.
What is that even
mean? From your traditional time-based coffee subscription, with Methodical, you can subscribe by usage, right? Receive a smart scale that tracks your coffee consumption and triggers your next order right at the
perfect time. John, is it free, by the way? Do they get it to you?
Let me tell you, it's free.
What?
Right? So you can always have the right amount of coffee on hand, worry-free.
John, can I tell you what the best part is?
Please.
Buckle up, everybody. Okay.
you can receive 20% off your first bag and 10% off all subsequent bags.
No.
Yeah, with no code needed.
I'm just worried. I'm worried that Methodical is not going
to
make any
money.
You
don't need to fry the smart scale. You just need to try it. People are going to try it. Don't do that, people. Just try it.
Well,
try
listen,
it
Dave, we also got to say, we have our very own Dadville signature blend.
It's
the fuel that gets me going every morning.
It's so good. It's illegal in Washington State.
I know it. We're working
Starbucks
on that with
gets
our legal
nervous.
Team.
Exactly. They're like, get it out of here.
They're coming after us. It's filled with hints of chocolate, graham, and brown sugar.
Brown sugar. Methodical. They're on a mission, guys. Yeah. Okay? They want to connect people to the beauty of life through coffee experiences for people like you and you and John and me. Methodical's been roasting and hosting the Old Roast and Host for over 9 years, and they offer a wide selection of coffees and teas from dark and roasty to bright and funky. Like
just
your
like Dave Barnes.
Don't do that.
On their site, you'll also find brew guides that'll teach you how to turn your coffee brewing chore into a beloved ritual. Now, it's never a chore, but don't get me started.
Okay.
Also, get 10% off your first order of coffee or tea with the discount code Dadville.
That's 10% off your first order with the discount code Dadville. Craft a cup you'll love with Methodical Coffee. Sorry, John. I'm just, I'm worn out from grocery shopping. Oh my gosh, my arms hurt, my legs hurt, my feet hurt, my heart hurts.
And you really engage your core when you
shop. I do.
I've seen you do it.
When I lean over to get the peanut butter, it's like.
It's amazing. Well, you know what? It's funny you bring that up because it's one thing that everyone has to do is grocery shop.
Yeah.
So I say, why not do it from the comfort of your couch? I've been saying that for years and years and years. For me, that's where Thrive Market comes in, right?
Okay.
Let me tell you something. No junk food, all right? Healthy grocery store food that even my kids love.
Okay, John, I'm actually agree with you here. Okay, first of all, because I'm really sore from grocery shopping,
again,
too. Because Thrive Market is also my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials. And convenience, the sheer convenience of getting everything online, then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver. No hurt ACLs, my ankle's not throbbing.
Right. Let your body recover with Thrive Market. They carry brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs, Dave.
John, can I tell you something else? Whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low-sugar alternatives, or gluten-free party essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make simpler, healthier swaps. Personally, John, I use the ketogenic filter. It keeps me keeps me buff. You've said you saw me mowing the other day and yelled across, "Dave, you look buff." That's what it sounded like you said, and now in retrospect, you may have said, "Can I borrow
that?" Look, the only activity that engages your core more than grocery shopping is mowing your lawn. I know that. I just love to save.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
And as a Thrive Market member, I save money on every single grocery order, over 30% on average, right? They even have a deals page that changes daily and always has some of my favorite
brands. I love the deals page. In fact, I saved 18% on Apple Cinnamon Yes Bars.
Yes.
Not No Bars, John. Yes Bars. And 19% on Aloha Protein Bars. Ooh. And of course, I got some Bonza Pasta.
Oh, yeah. Plus, when you join Thrive Market, you're also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. I join, they give.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/Dadville for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/Dadville. thrivemarket.com/Dadville.
Well, you know, it's so hard, I think, about that, that it's, I think, pretty particular to what we do for a living, the three of us, is that, and especially someone that's done this for, you know, 10, 15 years at that time, right? Because Annie, we both got married toward the beginning. I mean, I was a few years in. John was just beginning. Mm-hmm. Y'all got married so young. But, like, you know, when you've had a posture of kind of like, everybody sort of does what I say. You know, and they tell me how great I am, and I am the front of the ship. Like, I'm the, you know, and then you have somebody step in and go like, so, I don't really do that. That's not my job in our relationship.
Right.
It is jarring.
It's jarring.
And especially, again, when you've done it, you aren't 22.
Right.
Like, you know, you've done this for a long time.
Right. And you can't get away from them.
No.
And I feel like every marriage.
Watching you. Always watching.
Always. Right there.
Every marriage has some version of that.
Yeah.
Yours just you said it like word for word out loud.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody has a moment where they're basically like, if I were married to myself,
this would be
this would go a little smoother James, right now.
100%.
Yeah.
I've said this before.
I thought the same thing, too. He just said it.
Well, Stephen James told Annie and I one time, so I could never say that again. It screwed my whole thing up, because once he said it, I was like, well, I can't say that anymore in counseling. But he was like, the beginning of the end of every marriage starts with one phrase, and it's, why can't they be more like me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember him saying, I was like, well, note to self, don't say that in these counseling sessions anymore. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it really is a profound thought. Like, and I think it really takes away, y'all have said this so beautifully and so clearly, it takes away the what marriage really is, which is sanctification. Mm-hmm. Because if like there's no friction, we don't get better. If there's no pain, we don't change.
Right. What's your dad's quote there? It's always so,
so I would literally call home bawling.
Oh, yeah.
Like just bawling. He'd be on the road and, you know, obviously we're totally disconnected. And I'm like, what is going on? Like this, because I... Again, you step in with the greatest desires and
dreams.
You're
like, God,
and,
you told me he's the greatest gift.
Yeah, like, what is this? And my father would say, like, he would re-quote John Eldridge in his book, Love and War, which says, marriage is God's divine conspiracy for your transformation.
Yeah.
And literally, I hung my hat on that. And I didn't really understand the full weight of that. Because when you're walking through that, and for anyone who's listening to this, when you're walking through just the hard days of just loneliness or the challenge or the disagreements or the in-laws or the bills or whatever that is, you don't realize that God could actually be working through those very circumstances to draw you closer to him. Ultimately, and then in each other, finding restoration in God, that then you come back to one another as restored more to who you were made to really be. So like Chris, he would go passive, go golf, and go in his office. That's where he would run. And then in my false self, it was the, we got to talk about this control.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's talk. We've got to figure this out. And so finally, when God was like, shut your mouth. Literally, I heard him loud and clear, and he was like, we're going to work in this together, but you can't talk to him until you talk to me first. Yeah,
gosh, that's a good word.
And slowly in time, like God worked through other circumstances in our life where it wasn't me being the problem as much. It was just naturally him working through things to draw us closer together.
Yeah, and it has transformed my life. I'm such a different person.
So I was going to ask that. What are the ways that you think y'all have changed the most since then? Like, what are the things that would
That's
you think
about?
That's
such a good question.
Like, what would the top few things be? I love how quiet both of you are like,
So, it's so true. So much has changed. I'm thinking back. Presence. So, like, Chris has changed. When I met him, you were very much in your career and there was a lot of expectations and you were on that treadmill. You were in, you know, the hamster wheel and you were just letting that thing roll.
I was very aloof. She would call me Mr. Darcy. She would call me Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice.
But even just presence of like, even now he is more physically present and he is more emotionally present. And I would say there's just, he never came off prideful. Like, Chris was never one to beat his chest about, look what I've done. But I would say that there's just been such a humility in his presence. Like, he wants to be home. He wants to be with us. And it's his choice. And I literally have to say, like, please, like, go golf.
Isn't that funny?
Which is shocking that it started out where that's where he was. You know, that's where he would retreat. To survive.
And with Lauren, I've come to so grateful for her gift of digging in. And I've not known a person who's more intentional about people and connecting with people and making sure, and just intentional in so many ways. But for me, with me, it's been the greatest gift of me to step in and pull things out of me that I didn't know were in me, because I would just, you know, just put them under the rug. And Lauren's someone who can, all those things I did that I resented at the beginning have been the things that have been the greatest gift for me.
You know, that's a good word
for me. And that's why the counselor would just laugh when I'd say, but if she was like me, don't you think it would be better? And he's like,
oh, Lord, be gentle with him. Be kind.
And well, I mean, this may seem trite, but and maybe I'm just putting myself in this scenario, but when you're in the throes of your career and you're, you know, everything is up and to the right, and everything that your business is so much of your personal creation, you know, like you're writing these songs and you've got this thing going. I could imagine it would be tough to have some kind of huge fundamental shift in who you are, even though it would be for the betterment of your family. Because you'd be like, yeah, but what if it messes this whole thing up? And then I can't do this anymore, you know? Was that ever present in your mind?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, man, this is... I think it's just been such a gradual change. I haven't really noticed it. Because I would have people come to me so many times. They're like, man, Lauren has... I mean, it's been unbelievable how many times this come at. But Lauren has made you such a bad... I mean, you are such a better person. You are... I mean, and so it made you think, how bad was
I? Oh, right.
You know, because it was like...
You're like, okay. It's like when people are like, you look like you lost weight. I'm like, all right, slow down, okay?
But this is so many... It's so many comments, even now, just like, wow, marriage has done so much for you. And you're not seeing it because it's a slow drip, right? Because it's just like, you're just in it. You're in it, but you're to other people, they're seeing a remarkable change.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just been a gradual change. But knowing that she's done that, and that would not have happened. That is something that marriage brings. That would have not have happened. I can't imagine the me monster I would be,
especially today. In our career again.
Yeah, today. Like, for sure.
To John's point, like, when you're selling yourself, you're selling your creations. You're the face of your thing. People are paying tickets to come see you, and they clap for it. I mean, it is the need for a spouse in our. I mean, anyway, but I would say especially in what we do, or like in sports, just anything where you're getting all this praise or adulation, you just got to have somebody that's like, no. Like, I love you for you, and let's talk about that. I'll celebrate that all day, but, like, we're not bringing the rest of that stuff in here.
You know? You need somebody who didn't even know you wrote that song.
That'd be a great start, you know, just...
Yes, so who could help you write songs?
I mean, the fact that she asked you that is gold. Okay, so another question I was going to ask. What do you think, what are the superpower, what is the superpower each of you have that you envy in each other?
Like, ooh, envy?
Yeah, or you know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, man, I wish I could do that. Like,
what's the quality you would steal from the other person?
That's easy for me.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, I know.
Easy for me. Lauren's ability to hear from God. She just acts like it is just every... She's just like, well, you know, and I've always been skeptical because I grew up in a church where you didn't really say those words.
Yeah,
This is what God said to me. I'm like, no, well, God's already said everything in the Bible. And, and she's like, no, yeah, that is true, but... This is, and her ability to have a word for people or to God to like say something about and to people, oh, God's give me something about this person. And then she shares it with them. And they're just absolutely every time like, you have no idea. This is exactly what I need to hear at the right time. And she's done that for me, but just she's done with our girls. But then to hear just to hear that ability of just that sensitivity to God's spirit.
Annie raves about that about you, by the way. And Annie is like one of the most, in the most beautiful way. She's just very skeptical of those things. Because I think she's very like, you know, I don't know.
Well,
it can be
abused too.
But people can, she'll tell can me, be she's abused. Like, oh, Lauren had a word. And I'm like, I'll never hear you say this. She's like, it was really encouraging. She had a dream. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, Lauren's dreamed. We need to listen, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've had so many friends that have told me, they've come to me like, I will be meet people at a meet and greet that I haven't talked to in forever, and they're like, man, I just gotta tell you. And it's usually, I gotta tell you, your wife, she reached out to me about this or that, and it's just meant so much to me, and I don't ever know those things. And she's got this incredible, that is incredible superpower.
It is, it really is superpower.
Yeah. Y'all are sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
For him, this is easy. It's just his simplicity with words, which is, again, the thing that drove me nuts when we were early married in those early years. But he can synthesize, you know, I'm so verbose and it's like, but he can literally take an idea and just encapsulate it in the best way. And it's just so clear, so simple, and someone can receive it, which is why he is a worship leader. I think you take something so lofty like God and you make it relatable to where it's easy to sing and it feels relatable that people can grasp onto it and it has handles. So it was interesting because there was a, my grandmother passed at 97. And so there was a funeral for her, and the girls were singing a song that was in another film, like James and the Giant Peach. And so we had to change the lyrics. And Chris literally sits down. I'm like, we're trying to rethink the song. You know, I talked to him, like, the girls and I have kicked around.
Again, they're in there because they don't have a songwriter in the house. There's no one they can go to.
Who?
So they're working.
If only we just knew
Googling
someone.
Local songwriters.
Oh, my gosh.
So we come to him. I'm like, hey, what would you do with this last, like, two sentences? And he just literally comes back with the most profound
thing. You just started hovering. You're like, honey, what are you doing? Ooh, you have asked me the great Oz, finally.
Exactly. He literally, like, synthesized this amazing just thought. He took something that was very elusive of death and dying and made it very sweet about going to heaven and being held. So he is just such a way with words and simplicity. And the other thing is you're also just slow to speak. That's something that's really, like, you have surprised me. And I don't know if, do y'all find this in marriage too? The more you grow in time with them, you're just more and more wowed.
Oh, God.
By, like, dimensions of them. And you're just, you just literally like, wow, like, this really is your gift. Like, I never realized how strategic he is. And so, you know, you always say that I'm ready, fire, aim.
Ready, fire, aim. So
right.
Exactly.
I love that so much.
But he is quietly ready, aim, and then you hold on the fire.
Yeah.
And you sit, you stew, and I definitely have watched that in you. And I do think that's a lot of why you are where you are and why a lot of the team is still around you, because you're steady. And you internalize a lot before you probably address or move through decisions. So I've always respected that about you.
Do you, I'm the exact same way. And there's a part of me that wishes I had the capability to be a little more ready, fire, aim sometimes. Do you ever?
Yeah. Oh, I'm around friends and I'm around, and Lauren in social settings or anything or decisions, and they're just like boom, 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 like just firing away, just like, and I'm just like, and I'm just taking it all in, and just kind of like, okay, I got to take it all in, process this, and process this before I can say, this is what I think, you know. But yeah, I've got friends that they can just rattle out things, and all of it sounds amazing right off the cuff, and I'm like, well, I don't have, I'm not,
yeah, it's really fun doing a podcast with somebody like that.
It is.
But that same counselor told me one time, literally with Annie and I were sitting with him, and he said, so here's the deal, Dave, you just got to stop talking as much. He said, just make the point and then be quiet. And I was like, anything else? Sir, here's your money, thank you, and goodbye.
I will leave.
I really do have to do that in my marriage a lot, though. It's like I have to take a billion thoughts I have, consolidate them, say it once, and move on. Don't belabor it. Don't give a small mini sermon on a TED talk on all the reasons you feel that way. You know, it is a real hard, I'm better at it the older I get.
Did you guys marry your opposites? I know you did. I don't, John, no, are y'all?
I don't think I did.
Are you guys similar?
Yeah, we're similar in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously there are some ways in which we're on the opposite side of the spectrum, but we're both very laid back and chill.
That's
for
true.
The most part.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, that same counselor, I make this joke all the time, Dadville, is like, usually you have in marriage one planet and one planet orbits. And he's like, that's okay. That sounds like one's an ego. That's not the point. But like, you have kind of like this personality. He's like, Dave, you and Annie are planets that don't orbit.
You're just like,
fighting for power all the time.
Which one's going to overtake?
It's literally just like, you know, looking over the line, like, oh, we can take her today. We can take her. We have more firepower.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I feel that all the time, what you're describing, like, which is not a bad thing, but to be surrounded by people who are just like, kind of like, all these thoughts are coming out. And I'm like, one of my favorite things with Amy and one of her best friends, Loz, who lives in Australia, they used to live here. And I would like, the three of us would go like on a walk. And they are both just talking. And I would chime in every now and then. And I'm like, it's kind of like a podcast that I'm listening to. It's like, if I wanted to jump in, though, I physically cannot get the thought from down here
exactly
quick enough.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the way that we move through the world. Man,
slow brain. Slow
but brain. God, I envy that in Annie. I'm sure you've just said this about him. I envy her ability to sort of like take a beat and sort of go like, let me think about it. And I'm like, I don't even know what that phrase means. What do you mean, let me think? I've thought about it. Like, real, I'm thinking about it. This is how I feel.
How can you think about it if you don't hear yourself say your thought?
God, that should be on like my company header, just like that quote. It's so true. It is like, it has helped my marriage so much for me to do what he said, though, just to go, okay, I have a million thoughts about this, but this is the most distinct one. This is how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. Now leave the room, Dave. Turn around and walk out. Just leave the room. Let her think about it. Yeah. She'll come back and go, hey, I thought about what you said. And you know, where I used to, oh man, I would just, the more I talked, the more I gathered power. It was just like, and now for my 6 point, 45 minutes into this, you know.
Oh, gosh.
One time I did that. Like, this was early days. It's so funny that you said that, like, about calling your dad. You know, I'll never forget. Like, it was one of these nights where I was just, like, revved, and I was going, and Annie had fallen asleep. I'm, like, in our bedroom pacing, and I'm like, and that's why when we and she's, and I was like, oh, so this is rage. This is why people, you know, make terrible decisions in their life is this feeling I'm having right now. And I walked over and woke her up. And she's like, oh, I fell asleep. I was like, you fell asleep. And then I turn around and I'm like, so like I was saying, and she's, and I was like, that's it. That's it for, I don't even know, that's do I buy a car just to destroy it right now? Because that's what I want to do. Is just go to some used car lot and take a bat to a window.
The next morning at breakfast, a friend is like, Annie, you sleep with white noise, right?
And she's like, well, that's what, that's,
oh, you have no idea.
That's what I call him.
That's what I started calling him. Have you met White Noise? This is Dave. Which sounds like a great DJ name, by the way. DJ White Noise. Okay, so we've had y'all, and y'all have so many things to do, so we have a lightning round.
Okay.
Oh,
this is just, now these are tough.
He's
for
good.
Us.
He's good at this. It's,
no, but there's, I have to think about it. So when, I know, when so you say lightning, all of a sudden, anxiety.
Yeah, you're sweating. Lightning. I can see it. Okay, first question. Side of the bed, does it change which side you sleep on?
Never.
Never change.
Never changes.
Okay, then
what if you go on a trip?
Yeah.
Same.
Same. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Always the same.
Which
what
side?
What if the door to the room is on the opposite side?
Ooh, I love that.
Doesn't
question.
Matter.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever the bed is, that's where you're sleeping. Yes. No matter where the orientation.
Yes.
Which, where are you?
Well, I'm on the right side. She's on the left side.
Okay.
If same. You're facing it.
Yeah.
You're looking at the same. Because we both sleep. When we turn the sides, we're out.
Yeah, you're out facing.
Versus like, right, you're
just wake up and you're like, hey, oh my gosh.
All right. Middle of the night, kids cry. Who gets up?
Mostly Lauren. Because they're always screaming for
her. And I'm assuming that usually.
The 3-year-old.
They usually assumes that when they come in the room, they go to
mom. They also go to the left side of the bed.
Yes.
Or the right side, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's but fine. I'm closest to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, to the door.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She protects the family.
You're like, you'll beat him up. I'm going back to sleep. He looks scary. You got this, honey.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, what do y'all call each other? Do you call each other your names? You have, like, love or boo or...
Babe.
We'd say...
Y'all both say babe.
Yes.
You know what I realized in this podcast is Annie just calls me Dave, and that's crazy for me, whatever we in, not 18 years of marriage, that like, oh, yeah, you don't really have, like, some sweet... Mm-hmm. It's just Dave.
Dave.
And I was so sad.
Wait, like, when did you realize that?
But it's D-A-V-V.
Yeah, it's a Hebrew pronunciation, which means father of all crops. Bringer of crops and provider of money.
Okay, what is the quirkiest
I love
trait
this question
the other
so
person
what's
has?
It, what is it?
So we're answering for each other. Like, Chris, what is Lauren's quirkiest trait?
Oh, gosh.
I love this. Is maybe
like
my
this
favorite
at
question
all.
Of this whole
Do y'all
podcast.
Always ask this of married people?
Gosh, I've got several.
Yeah, I love this.
I don't have any. What does that say?
Leaving Q-tips on the floor.
Oh, no. That is...
And when I go in her bathroom, there's usually a Q-tip. Always on the floor.
On the floor, on the floor.
It's on
so
the floor.
When you're done with it,
you just
drop it.
She just puts it on the
or
floor.
Or are you placing it gently on the floor?
I still don't agree that
do
I've just
it?
Tossed them on the floor.
She says it's L doing it. She says it's L doing it. But almost every... Since I've talked to her about it, there's all of a sudden L doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, that's weird.
But it was every single time I walked in the bathroom, there's a Q-tip in it. And so I just gently put it in the trash. Tomorrow, there'd be a Q-tip in there.
Yes.
And I just put it in the trash. And so that's a funny one. And then one of my favorite ones is that, you know, Lauren's in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Door, the dishwasher's wide open. All the pantry doors are wide open. That's just a funny...
She's just like, hey, I need to be able to put stuff anywhere.
I can't be bothered to shut these doors.
No, yeah.
There's no time.
Yeah, there's no time.
Yeah,
it's a fun little quirk.
I can't think of any for you.
Oh, really?
No, we'll have to at lunch talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Perfection.
Is there one that comes to mind for you? Yeah, just perfection.
Does one come to mind for you?
Quirks of mine.
Well, you take bath. You're into bath, taking baths
every night.
Every night,
no matter what.
You know who else is a big bath taker? And it's another one of my best friends, Andrew Rip.
Really,
Andrew Rip has taken baths as long as I know him. Like, and it's a thing.
Like I get in from tour, I might get in at 2 a.m.
Oh,
and I'll go. I have to go to before I can go to sleep.
Yeah,
it's weird. But I have my little ticks and little things like that. That's not quirky.
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like, no, these are not quirky anymore. She's like, I wouldn't change. Look, come on, stay that way. Okay, this sounds like the same question. It's not. What is something most people don't know about each other? Like, what's something that on the outset you'd be like, oh, but then you're like, well, here's a fun fact about him or her. They do this thing, or they have this little superpower, or a trait, or some weird hobby.
The first thing that comes to my mind is Lauren can sail.
What?
A boat.
I can sail. Like sailing, I took sailing at a camp in the summer.
Like she gets out.
So
just
I
owns
literally
a boat. Like sails.
Wow,
it's fun.
This is exactly why I asked this question.
I know.
You can sail.
I know. It's shocking, right?
Do you sail? Do you sail often?
No, not enough. But like we would take the Hobie Cat out at the beach, and I was pregnant. Remember? Yeah, yeah. And like I like hurled myself on it, and my stomach like landed on the whole tarp. Oh, I know. Yeah. It was like, ooh, that wasn't a good call.
Yeah, I was like, so I'm out there. I don't know anything.
Oh, no.
You're first mate.
I'm first mate.
And a storm came in.
Storm's coming. And, like, she's out there, I mean, completely rocking this thing, crushing it, knowing how to turn the sails. And, okay, you do this. And I was like, wow, okay. This
seems like a lot of
very,
work.
Very attractive.
Don't you love that? I just love those in your partner where they have some things. Like, it could be 20 years in your marriage. You're like,
that's
so
what?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I can dunk. You're like, how do you
really?
Yeah.
This just never came up.
Yes. Yes.
I don't like to do it in front of people. Can't do it.
That's what I think of right off the top.
That's a good one. For me, it'd probably be that you just started out as a nobody, literally. Nobody would think that. I think everyone starts out somewhere, but like cowboy hat, Wrangler, jeans is what I hear, frosted tips.
Yep.
What I hear. I love that. Listen, that's Frosted what a bum on the street says.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I hear from the veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, 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 very humble.
Headed movies. For the salt mine, and he was like, no, God has different plans.
Exactly.
I'm going to be given salt and light.
Thank you.
See, wow. Look, incredible. I know JD's great, but I do have things that
how do you
add.
Do this?
I don't know.
How do you do this?
It's a gift and it's a burden.
You should do this.
It's a
You're
wave.
Next.
It's a wave.
You're the next one to co-write.
All right.
I'll be getting ready.
If you collectively wrote a book on marriage, what would the title be?
Holy War?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
I have a book called Holy Roar. Holy War would be a really good one.
I actually really do love that as a title of a marriage book.
Yeah.
Holy War.
That would be... Okay. So last question. This is something, Lauren, this is just for you. Do you... like? I don't even know how to ask this in like a speed round, so it doesn't have to be necessarily a speed round question, but John and I were talking before, and I was like, when you're ever out sitting, it could be at a show or like church, and one of his songs comes up, do you ever have a moment where you're like, this is a little weird? Like you're like just worshiping, you're like, remember when he played this for me in the living room? Like, do you have those moments? You're like, Dave, I'm so holy that I'm just...
No, it's so funny because we're so with the current... So it's always with what he's working on and the projects that are flooding through the house. So I think it's more the present. Mm. But there will be those moments where, honestly, if I were to really say what's really like mind-blowing is the stories we hear from people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some powerful just how God's able to really you know, they come up to him and they're losing it. Mm. Just like some of the tragedies that we hear of and, you know, God intersecting into people's stories. And so they're coming to him moved to see him because typically, you know, it'll be these crazy circumstances where God was teeing it up for Chris to be there and they're accidentally running into him and it's like they feel like God was meeting them in that moment. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Oh, yeah.
But the stories that we hear, that's where my mind's blown, is that you just see how incredible God is at meeting people personally. So they're emotional seeing him, but it's actually really how the music, God met them in the music. And that's the power of music, too, like how it just permeates somebody's soul. I mean, you can talk to somebody till you're blue in the face, but then when music comes in, it has a way of breaking all barriers.
And it's got to be especially powerful to Ashlyn now knowing that you actually wrote them. Right. You know, that she's like, I've been singing these songs and just assume dad knew them like I did. Yeah. Like he learned them out on the road somewhere.
Guys, that this is great.
So much fun.
Full circle.
You guys are the best. Thank you all for taking some time, you know, blessing Dadville with all the wisdom.
Oh, man. So good. I mean, what I hope people leave from this, I mean, they're right now they're like, going, wow. They're probably going home to their spouse and go, wow, our marriage is, we're doing good. We're
doing really good. If that podcast wasn't for anything, it is just to show us it's going to be all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. Do you know what Chris would call his marriage? Holy war.
Holy war.
Exactly. Yeah,
I feel
no,
good about myself.
I mean, I think it is hard though, right? It's beautiful and hard, but it's like, it's tough. It's like no joke.
But the gift, once you press in, because certainly you can hover. You can hover and do the thing.
You
and
can
do
coexist.
You can do the functional life. Yeah. But if you're going to live a true life, and if you really want to show up for one another and allow God to do a work, yeah, it's going to be hard. But on the other side, the redemption and the joy and the fun.
Yeah. On this side, we're actually here laughing.
We can share about it. If we hadn't fought for it, if we didn't have those hard conversations, we couldn't be here.
I wasn't laughing about it, really.
Trust me, he was crying.
I saw a little tear. I assumed it was laughter, but it's good to know that I was real pain. You guys are the best.
Oh, this is fun, y'all. Dadville.